You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD, where I talk to everybody about anything and everything, different guests and a different topic every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. Hello and welcome to You Talking to Me on the All Talk Radio Network, alltalkradio.net. I'm your host, Big JD, and today I'm talking with hairstylist and salon owner, Troy Mertz. How you doing, Troy? Welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
So let's delve right into a little bit of general information, like what got you interested in cutting hair?
The idea of creativity. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of done things from a creative point of view, like playing music, taking pictures. And I thought this would be somewhat of a kind of if I had to do something for a living, at least I could be creative at the same time.
Okay, so it's kind of like an art form type of thing.
That's right.
I think that falls right into the category with all those things that you mentioned.
Yep.
You know, cutting hair, it's definitely an art form. How long have you been doing what you do?
Going on like 10 years now, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite a while. And what about education for this? Is it something that you've gone to school for?
It's an ongoing process.
Oh, yeah?
Truthfully and honestly, you go to school and you kind of get the basic fundamentals of hairdressing.
Right.
And from there, I look at it every day as a constant educational growth. I learn from my customers. I learn from my staff. A few times a year, I'll definitely step out of the salon and go in and take a class somewhere if I have to.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, it always keeps you basically alert on top of things. And things are constantly growing. And if you're not willing to grow with them, then they're going to grow without you.
Yeah, there's probably things which we'll get into maybe a little later, changing, you know, in the business and that sort of thing. But as far as changes in, you know, maybe going to take certain courses on new things, like what kinds of new things, like what kinds of things are changing, like as far as maybe chemicals and materials and your equipment and things?
All that, definitely all that. Chemicals, even shampoos. There's always something new that's coming out towards products that'll actually help the hair in many different ways, from basically it being tangled to it being too dry to being it too oily. To tools. There's always new cutting techniques that come out. There's always new ways to use your scissors. And even also, too, the education of basically dealing with client customers. You know, you can take a course on basically, you know, how you...
There's a lot of different people out there.
That's right. And you're learning how to communicate with them and try to understand them and trying to deliver what they're wanting for with their expectations towards a great hairstyle and a good experience.
What are some of the best things that you would say the education itself has to offer? I mean, I guess you learn quite a bit and probably a lot more in the real world. But as far as the education, like what are some of the more interesting things that you learn, you know, just to get started maybe type of thing? Maybe what are a couple of biggest points that you feel that you still rely on maybe from your education? That kind of thing?
I rely on experience, definitely, and the education definitely is a great factor in it. When you...
Like anything stand out maybe from education time, from your courses, your original classes and things like that, that you maybe incorporate every day?
Every day? I think that goes with definitely, is even as far back as school education. Mm-hmm. When you first go to school and the things that they teach you, and it's just sometimes the fundamental basics of being able to come to work every day.
Yeah.
How you hold your blow dryer. Those some of those basic educational.
I guess some of them you just don't even think of. It's natural now.
It's natural now. Yeah. Exactly. And hopefully,
because when you mention something like that, just the way that you hold the blow dryer and those things, like that's not something that most people would think of every day. Even if it's somebody that, you know, you dry your own hair every day when you get out of the shower, but you don't think that there's technique there, or there's you know, different ways of using it and holding it, and probably maybe faster ways to dry it.
Exactly. Exactly. Or even consultations, you know, you're learning the ability to speak to clients and consult with them on their hair needs, and some of those basic questions that you ask them are right from what you learned from school, and you do definitely implement those to this day.
Out of curiosity, is that something that you found was more important now that you have your own business as opposed to working for somebody else? I mean, you probably, you know, you talk to clients while you're working and things like that, but I mean, now that it's your place, your business, things done any differently? Like you rely more heavily now on how you...
That's one thing actually that I've taken from my courses that I've taken at school, and I remember taking courses even 5 years ago that the person that was training the course on cutting hair was definitely constantly reminding people is consult.
Right.
And it was just a great reminder. And to this day, I still share that with my staff, isn't to be great at consultations, because when you have that great communication between you and your client, or a misunderstanding, mm-hmm. if you consult it and figure out what that misunderstanding is, there won't be any mistakes.
Right. And plus, in your line of work, it's an ongoing relationship.
That's right.
You know, you don't, it's not everybody that just, you come in and get a haircut and you never see them again. It's the clientele that you build up. And
that's right. And it's definitely, I look at it almost like a doctor. You go to a doctor with a sore elbow and he asks you, how long has it been hurting for? Where does it hurt? How did you hurt yourself? Mm-hmm. The same thing with hair.
Right.
You know.
Where's your hair hurt?
Yeah.
What about contests and shows and other industry things that go on? Because in this business, I mean, there's a lot of other things that, like, this is kind of a basis for a lot of other things that go on as far as entertainment, and you mentioned music, but the music industry and things like that, because hair is such an important thing for not just the average everyday Joe, but, you know, Hollywood stars and things like that, and the magazines like crazy, and you know, sort of aware that there are things that go on, contests and things like that, or you have
the contests is one,
things that go on through the manufacturers or some of the product hold different things, and what's I don't know about.
It's great. It's basically, there's one here called the contests that happen every year.
That's is that local?
It's Toronto.
Okay,
they hold that one. But every international city will have a hair show, and during that hair show, they host competitions,
right,
men's haircuts, women's haircuts. They host coloring competitions. And it's a great way to spark creativity.
Yeah.
You try to basically push your creativity to the outer limits. Mm-hmm. And you always, no matter, even if you don't come out and place as a winner, you're still a winner. Because you've always put yourself in a position where you pushed yourself and tried something new.
Yeah, push the envelope as far as the creativity and the art and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because a lot of times in the chair, you can be creative, but there are some people who don't want anything too creative. They just want a really good cut or a really simple, nice color, and that's wonderful too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a chance to really allow yourself to go to places that the paying customer doesn't always want to go.
You know, you talk about the contest and talk about it being, you know, like an art form and that type of thing. Where does a place like the walk in, have your hair cut in 2 minutes and you're gone out? Where do those people fit in? Like the Bo Ricks and the magic cuts and
they definitely
do a quick patch job and get them out of here, get the next one in. Like, let's keep them rolling. They see 2,000 people in an afternoon.
And I think those places definitely hold a purpose in the hair industry,
mm-hmm.
just as well as a place that charges $200 for a haircut.
Yeah.
There's basically, it's like restaurants. You have a 5-star restaurant and you have a 1-star restaurant. Either of those could have great cooks, but they're basically meeting customers.
If you're looking for a quick snack or somebody's going to go to Bo Ricks or Magic Cuts, and when you want to do some fine dining, then you go somewhere and get a nice haircut.
That's right.
And somewhere where you probably go back to all the time.
That's correct.
What about the people that are working there? I wouldn't assume or associate them with, like, the art part of it or anything like that. You know what I mean? And maybe there are some, but
I think I'd like to look at it like this. No matter where you go, you'll find creative individuals in every hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
Some more creative than others, some more open-minded than others.
Yeah.
I just feel that in some ways they cater to...
I mean, in your case, it seems like it's more than just a job for you. There's
your
creativity aspect there. Whereas sometimes from what I've seen in places like that, it doesn't seem like... It was more for the job part.
It's definitely more for the job part, I think, because each client that you do have in your chair and a salon like that where you're required to do a haircut in under 12 minutes, I don't think there's really too much creativity going on. But like I said,
even 12 minutes you can get fired for.
That's right. That's right. But I think at that point in time, the people that are in the chair are looking for something that's just basically, they're in, they're out. They're looking for something very simple and clean and neat, and that's.
Hey, you only cut half of my head. Yeah, well, your 12 minutes is up. You gotta get you out the door, buddy. Would you prefer to work in a particular city? Like, are you happy with where you are right now, or would you prefer a bigger city? Or because I know that you've done work elsewhere.
I've done work in a lot of different cities. I do. There's obviously a favorite few cities that I do like. I love Toronto a lot. I love Los Angeles a lot.
Yep.
as far as that goes, I do like places that are warmer. I guess that would be my only complaint.
Yeah, right.
Snow, I'm not too fond of. Other than that, yeah.
It's hard to cut hair when it's like frozen.
When it's frozen,
exactly. You got to thaw it and you got to
chip away the ice.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be somewhere warm all year. Of course, Ontario's not like that, but the fact that you've, at some point in time, worked for somebody else, mm-hmm. and now you've grown into the fact that you have your own business, that's a milestone, I think. I think it's incredible that somebody can climb up the ladder to owning their own place, having their own business, and running the show.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely...
With that, though, comes a lot more responsibility, I'm sure.
Oh, tons. Yeah. You're always having to think about your business, your staff.
You got to wear a few other hats.
Yes, definitely. There's less home life and more work life involved.
Mm-hmm.
But the rewards are great, you know, to know that you've actually put work into something and you can stand back and look at it.
Yeah.
And knowing that you're educating staff and, mm-hmm. You know, that they're doing well. And it's hopefully because of this establishment that's helped them along.
Yep.
And ideally, it's nice to see all the customers that are coming leaving very happy.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after the short messages. Okay, we're back on the All Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Big JD. This is You Talking to Me, and we're talking to hairstylist Troy Mertz today, as you're probably well aware. I wanted to ask you about some advice for young stylists. You know, what would be the, maybe the a couple pointers that you could give them for somebody that wanted to get in the business? Is it, should everybody have a goal of maybe starting their own business one day, or is it, what should they kind of look towards, maybe even working for somebody else, or what are the most important aspects, maybe?
Of getting started in this industry is basically be open-minded to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've been in the industry 10 years, but I look at every day as a learning experience.
Right.
And that point there, well, if you're always willing to learn, you'll never stop growing as a stylist.
Nice.
And mm-hmm. I think that's very, very crucial and important at any age in this industry. But if you can start out with that mindset and keep that, there's no stopping you. From there, from owning your own salon to working at one of the top salons in a big city,
mm-hmm.
to even working at the most simplest, smallest salon and just being happy working in there.
What about like recent graduates or anything like that that you know, maybe come in and want to work and maybe they're not good enough to cut yet, so they're shampooing and stuff. Do they sometimes, would recent graduates maybe get a little bit frustrated because, you know, they want to cut but they're kind of stuck in this rock and a hard place a little bit because they're maybe not good enough to start cutting at, you know, a particular place, or they start out with just doing shampoos and little things and sweeping and, you know.
I think everybody gets a little anxious, but it's all called paying your dues.
No matter. And how do you get them broken in then? How would somebody get broken in as far as maybe starting to cut? Because
obviously
they'd have to start on a family member or somebody they know or something, maybe bring in, but because you don't want to hand them somebody.
Sometimes they bring in their friends.
Yeah.
And a lot of times too, we'll start them off with blow dries.
Right.
We'll do a color in-house at the salon.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get really busy, so we'll get them to start off with the blow dries to finish it.
Right, yeah.
And from there, we just sort of wean them in a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get them mixing color, then we'll get them applying color.
Yeah.
We'll get them starting to do the odd walk-in.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you know, if they're ambitious and they're eager and they're willing to grow and learn, there's no stopping them.
And obviously, that probably doesn't take you very long to tell how well they're coming along once you start cutting.
Exactly.
Let's move on to the equipment. With scissors and shavers and blow dryers and things like that, are the stuff that you use, is it all industrial, or
it's all expensive. Mm-hmm. A lot of the shears come from Japan.
Right.
A lot of them are made out of various metals, and including
for wear and things, because for sharpness.
Exactly.
And
some are, you know, they're supposed to be made and sharpened with lasers.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it goes as crazy as that. We pay anywhere from $100 a pair up to $1,000 a pair.
Wow. If something happens to those, I mean, if they get nicked somehow from being dropped or anything like that, can they be resharpened, or do you actually have to get a new one?
9 out of 10 times you can get them sharpened again.
Right.
I've, knock on wood, hadn't had a pair happen to me, but I've heard of other people where they've dropped a pair and they claim that they've never been quite the same since.
Yeah.
And even with the clippers and the hair dryers, it seems like the more expensive your tools are, if they fall, they break easier for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But brushes are even important too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I find that my favorite thing now is boar bristle brushes.
What is it?
Boar bristle.
From a wild boar?
From a wild boar.
Wow.
Yeah.
You import your own boar and then slaughter them in the back and make your own bristles?
We just take the hair off them.
Okay.
So it's basically boar bristles are the greatest. They're really good at keeping the hair shiny.
Yeah.
They're really good at controlling static on the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that they're really good at also to controlling frizz and curl when you're trying to really get a smooth look out of the hair.
So I would think that on the boar, the hair is pretty fine.
Yeah.
Is it just used somehow to make a thicker bristle for a brush, though? Or
yeah, it's definitely, there's more of the per bristle, there's more of them together.
Mm-hmm.
But just the brush material itself against the hair really works well.
Wow. It must be an awful lot of testing going on to find out what materials work better for hair and what metals work better and how better to cut scissors and things. There must be a lot of things behind the scenes that go on.
Oh, all the time. And even like, you know, as we grow as hairdressers, that whole side of the industry towards tools have been growing. So in 10 years, I've seen from blow dryers to scissors to even brushes. New technology, something's always new coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great.
Do you have anything in particular like that was like your first pair of scissors or the first, you know what I mean, something saved that was from the beginning of your career, so to speak?
I got one pair of scissors that I saved from the beginning of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I ever cut with them.
yeah.
But I still hold on to them because they're fun. They're my first pair.
Oh, you actually use them still? Or?
No, but okay. I keep...
Oh, you're wondering how you ever cut with them back then?
Back then, that's correct, yeah. Because, uh-huh. You know, nowadays my scissors are worth a lot more and they're higher grade metal.
Those ones were from the little protractor set you got from school.
That's right. That's right. The glue set.
Try to cut hair with those little ones there for the nails that have a little curve on the end there.
These were like a 4-inch Jaguar scissor.
Oh yeah.
And
was Jaguar a name at that time?
Jaguar is a name at the time. It's Jaguar scissor, and they're heavier. They're not a very good metal, and all around it was just, I guess, a great implement to start out with. But mm-hmm. as you grow as a stylist, so will your tools, definitely.
Right. Well, that's good. What about the cutting techniques themselves? You know, like maybe personal techniques kind of thing? Just holding things.
I own roughly about 8 pairs of shears,
mm-hmm.
and at times I can use anywhere between 3 to 6 to, you know, pairs of different shears on one haircut.
Oh yeah.
You use an 8-inch shear to cut length.
Mm-hmm.
You'll use a 5-inch shear to start to do layers.
Mm-hmm.
You could use a 8-teeth texturizing shear to remove weight from the hair, up to a 30-tooth to really create a lot of texture on the ends of the hair.
You guys use it all those? They used to have the things that your mom would use sometimes. It's like a comb, and you just comb your hair, but it cuts at the same time. And you know what I mean?
It's a little... That's a razor.
And
we do use razors also, too. And the comb thing is to protect the clients, especially their ears. Okay. But
those things are actually used then?
Those are still used.
Because I remember, and maybe still you can, but there were times where, you know, your parents could go buy them somewhere for the kids, you know, and they... Just give them their own little haircut by combing.
That's right.
They would cut. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Without cutting.
And those must be used for something specific, I guess.
You can use those for a lot of shaggy looks. You can use it. Yeah. It's got that scissor. You can actually do that particular comb
mm-hmm.
razor.
Yeah.
You can do a full haircut with.
Okay.
If you wanted to, or you can use it just to create
see the
texture.
Things that people don't know. You think when I think of that, I just think of parents used to do it for the kids way back when. It can't be anything that for real.
True.
But it can be a useful tool, I guess.
That's right.
That's pretty neat, too. What about cutting different hair types?
There's fine, medium, and coarse hair types. There's also curly. There's straight.
Because one of the things that comes to mind the most is probably, what would you call it, black hair?
African-American hair, yeah.
African-American hair. It's got to be, it's very different. Is that... Would you be trained specifically
to
do that type of hair? Because I would find that to be, maybe one of the most different types of hair.
Yeah, definitely. African-American hair, definitely there's different ways of implementing a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, a lot of them get their hair straightened, chemically relaxed.
Right.
And then they get their hair cut. They'll straighten it with a chemical relaxer, so it's...
Right.
Pretty primarily taking
it
from...
But they keep it straight after it was...
That's right.
Done. Okay.
And then primarily when their roots start growing in, they'll have to get their roots re-straightened again with a chemical. So then it's treated like straight hair would be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely takes... there are courses for doing hair like that. And people who do that, I'm always thoroughly happy to watch them do it because mm-hmm. I think it's such an art form and it's such a neat process
Especially some of the ones I see that are, they will have straighter hair, but they really do it up in these round things and the different colors, and it's really smoothing and flat to some of the spots.
That's right. That's right. And
there's some art going on there.
And also, too, a lot of that you don't even know has a lot of hair pieces attached to that, like fake hair with clips. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like that's a whole other world of creativity and a neat way of looking at doing people's hair.
Extensions and creativity and all that sort of thing. We're going to come back to that right after these fine messages. Okay, and we're back talking to Troy Mortz on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, on the All Talk Radio Network, alltalkradio.net. And we were talking about the extensions and things like that. Do you actually do the extension stuff here? Is that something you do you get them made? You have to order things, or how does that work? Or you just like sweep up and glue and make them in the back?
Well, somebody will come in and sometimes they'll ask for extensions, but a lot of times majority of them will be clip-on extensions. And what we mean by that is it usually has a clip or it has a barrette at the end of it, and they'll do their hair for the night and clip in that fake piece.
Okay. As opposed to what? You're talking about like the hair club for men kind of thing where you get it sewn in or something?
Oh, that's implants.
Coiffures. What is that? What's the name of that there? Is that coiffure that does something to do with hair, wig, something? Coiffure?
Coiffure?
Chauffeur?
Chauffeur.
Yeah, you can go to somebody place to find it. Oh, there's a coiffure. Yeah. What do they do? You can bring your hair there, can't you? Buy it.
That's for wigs.
Okay.
That's for wigs.
So they use like real hair to make wigs or something.
That's right. Some hair extensions and wigs are made out of human hair, and they're also made out of synthetic hair.
And they're finding now that the boar hair, no.
But it's primarily...
What's better, synthetic or the real hair?
The real hair, 100%.
And it'll last for...
If you take care of it, it'll last you a long, long time.
Because I know my hair was down to my ass. And I say that I still have that today.
Do you?
Seriously. And I just kept it in... It was in a box with all my other rock and roll band stuff from when I played. And that's, you know, I had long hair in the band. Well, I still have that. But then somebody told me, oh, I had my hair for a long period of time. And then there was... bugs in it and everything after, you know, so long. And I'm thinking, well, that could be because it's like live stuff at one time. Isn't it a protein or so?
There's creatine.
Let's
in
ask you that. What's hair made out of?
Creatine, protein.
Yeah, okay. So there's...
The bug part of it, I don't know where he'd be getting those from.
Yeah, so then that kind of... I got to go find mine because it's in a storage unit somewhere in a box and and maybe there's bugs all crawling all over the place now. So I did find it and nothing wrong with it. And I just actually put it in something plastic and then put it back in, but...
You could also donate that hair, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Cancer Society will take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll make wigs for it.
Even after all this time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, providing the hair hasn't been colored.
Nope.
And it's 100% virgin hair, they call that. But they'll definitely...
Yeah, consider that, actually.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a bit of it there.
Is 7 inches, 6 inches?
Oh, it's pretty long.
Yeah.
When you pull it out, you know, it was really curly ringlets, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's all like a ball right now, but you pull it out and it's probably a good foot long.
Yeah,
for sure.
That could definitely go...
It was the ponytail and then snip, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to consider that. I guess the human's better.
The human is definitely better. Synthetic does hold a purpose. It's less expensive, which is kind of nice too. Not everybody can afford the real human hair. The human hair is easier to color because we can try to match it to your natural hair, which is kind of nice.
What's the lifespan? I mean, I've had my hair for 20 years or something, but I mean...
I find most people, what they'll end up doing is wearing it for about a year or two, whatever it is, if it's just
well,
hair.
Well, yeah, time, the thing, everything changes.
That's right.
The hair's probably still good.
That's right. The hair's still good, but...
And the synthetic, it just lasts...
Just as long.
Kind of, yeah.
Longer than the original.
Just a different material and not as... quite as easy to work with, I guess, than...
Yeah, it's a little harder to curl in some cases. Yep. It's a little harder to color to match to your natural.
What about coloring itself? Is that's a whole other ball game, I guess, as far as education's concerned and everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. And that's one aspect of hairdressing that...
How much do they touch on in education? Like, you go to school for hairdressing, and is it... it's mostly the cutting part and the... dealing with your customers maybe and those kinds of things and the equipment and about hair and everything. What about the coloring part? Is that a major part of it or just a smaller part?
It's a major, major part of it.
In the education?
Education field is a major part of it because primarily that's where I'd say 70% of your business could come from.
Well, it's coloring.
It's from coloring.
Okay.
If you're... coloring hair, like color always changes, even with the seasons.
Right.
Summertime, everybody wants highlights.
Mm-hmm.
various, you know, of colors of highlights.
Yeah.
Come fall time, everybody wants the auburns, the browns.
Is it fairly, I mean, do they have enough variety of color that it's fairly easy to give somebody what they want? Or do you find that, you know, you mix colors to get something in particular? And it...
Primarily, you mix to... you know, to mix a few colors together to get the colors that you do want.
Mm-hmm.
That they're almost like a painter,
right?
Would be like,
it's another art form, I
that's
guess.
Right. But then you run into the thing is whether or not the hair is virgin, because some people have other colors in their hair previously.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're tackling a whole different ballpark of trying to get through those other colors.
And does that matter, like when they've had the, like if their hair's grown out and they don't, there's no color in there anymore from that, that's would still be considered like virgin color.
Where the roots. If they've had, say, a color 2 years ago and their hair is to their shoulders, they'll have 2 years worth of roots.
Right.
And then from the mid shaft to the ends of the hair is where the old color is.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases you have to mix up two formulas.
Yeah.
One for the root area with a different level of peroxide, and then one for the mid shaft end area for the other half. And okay. By doing that with the two color system, you will achieve the consistency from the root to the ends, which mm-hmm. you're looking for.
So if it's all grown out though, the color, then it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. If there's no longer anything left in the hair. Right. They might have nicely colored their hair 4 years ago.
And it's grown out, cut, and
cut.
Away. It's gone.
It's gone.
Okay. And so that's back to square one basically.
Yeah. And then by far that's the easiest type of hair.
And doing things like actually coloring in anything, obviously it, I don't know about structure, but it obviously does something to the hair itself. Once that's grown out, gone, done, your hair has been cut like however many times, does it ever actually change anything in your hair follicles or anything like that? Or are they just back to normal? It doesn't do anything?
Doesn't do anything. There's always a myth like, oh, you shouldn't color your hair when you're pregnant and stuff like that. But no, the only time your hair is ever going to start to change is as you get older. Mm-hmm. You start losing the pigment in your hair.
Just a natural thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And either you start receding or you start going gray.
We talked a little bit about the different kinds of hair and what's a little easier to work with or harder to work. What are some of the other things that might be really difficult to do? Maybe somebody comes in and you think, oh, that's going to be tough. Even before they say anything, maybe in some cases, but are there some things that you think that, you know, are, especially for maybe somebody newer, you know, you've been around for a while and it might not be the same thing, but something that's difficult to do?
Something that's difficult to do is, I think always is I guess the word is appeasing your customers.
Oh, okay.
I think that's always, you know, that's always a goal to set mm-hmm. out for every haircut. I never look at it like, oh, I got
this. That's not at all the way I was going, but that's pretty neat that's what you bring up.
Yeah, so that's like that. But when they come in, sometimes you get people that have an overabundance of hair,
mm-hmm.
and they bring in a picture and saying they want it like this person's hair who doesn't really have that thick of hair.
They can't do that, maybe.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have to, you know, work at it to make the hair somewhat look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's the other way around where somebody doesn't have a lot of hair, very fine hair, and
they want an afro.
They want something very thick and curly,
right,
and bouncy,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But all with where I was going back to before with consultation,
right?
You can always definitely try to meet your client's needs to mm-hmm. some degree.
Yeah, that's good. And that's where that comes into play, that
client-stylist
relationship.
That's right.
Yeah. We can move on to some of more of the business end as far as like maybe starting out. Because mm-hmm. did you find it all that it was like, you know, when you started cutting hair way back when and, you know, started working for somebody else, was it anything like starting again when you decided to take on owning your own business? Not so much maybe in, you know, that you know how to do what you do, but did it seem at all like it was you were starting somewhere new again? Or
oh yeah, definitely. Like you bring your education of a cutter and a colorist with you, no mm-hmm. matter where you go, which is great. But when you're actually opening the doors to your own industry or to your own business in the industry, the hair industry, it's definitely, when you're working for somebody else, you always have the dream of opening your own place.
Right.
So
yeah.
Then you dream how you'd have your own salon.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually have the opportunity to do that, and the realism's there that you're doing it,
exactly.
It's definitely, there's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely, nothing can train you for that.
Yeah.
It's basically you learn and go at the same time.
Yeah, business itself is not necessarily have anything to do with cutting hair.
That's right.
It's a whole other area.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break and we're going to come back to more of the business aspect of being a hairstylist and owning your own salon. And we'll get into some other fun things like hiring and firing. We'll be back right after this. Okay, we're back, and last segment of the show here. I'm your host, Big JD. This is you talking to me. We're talking to Troy Mertz. We were talking about the business aspect of things. What are some of the, maybe a couple of the biggest hurdles that you found starting
a business?
You know, a business or, yeah, business for yourself. Was it paperwork? Any red tape stuff? Was it, you know, the building, the location? Was it, you know, considering partnership? Was it hiring people? Like, you know.
I think all those in some ways was a hurdle, because now it's your responsibility.
Right.
Definitely the first key to running a business is the three things that they say is location, location, location.
Okay.
Which is so
true.
Let's
start off with location then, and we'll get into the other two after that.
Okay. Location is definitely a viable part in running a business.
And your location is Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. And the actual address is 2053 Wyandotte Street West.
That's right.
What I really want to mention about your location is that it's extremely close to the university here. And was there any particular reason that you chose this area?
Yeah, I was actually thinking of opening a salon and looking, and you always look in the East End, West End, South End, North End, mm-hmm. of towns. This area, I noticed that there's a university right there, which you're
right,
saying,
yeah.
And there's over 16,000 kids that go to the university.
Exactly.
And there was two barber shops in the area. And so mm-hmm. I found that there was a niche for me there, because we have kids coming from all over the world, from
That's right.
Tokyo to India mm-hmm. to Vancouver, from Toronto, and all these places have wonderful big urban cities, and they coming to Windsor, there was nothing in this area that...
Except the barbershop.
Exactly.
Now, what exactly is a barbershop?
A barbershop is primarily a place that a gentleman would go into and just get a haircut.
Right.
And
it sort of reminds me of the, you know what, I wouldn't say the old version of, Magic Cut Bo Rixing, because those guys have probably been, a lot of times you find it's a one guy in there.
That's right.
You know, and he's been doing it for years, and, you know, he's probably okay, but it's a little different than the salons of today, for sure.
Definitely. They do haircuts, and some barbers, I've stood in windows and watched them, and they do amazing cuts, fades,
yeah.
clipper work. But primarily when you open up a salon, like I said, when I opened up this place, it was basically to cater to the youth. There was a lot that a younger person or a middle-aged person can identify with,
mm-hmm.
More than what they
Of course, you'd have your clients longer as well.
That's right. yeah. Or,
So, but yeah, the location here by the university, that's, you got lots of people around here. Lots of younger people walking by even, and that's something kind of neat in itself, I think, that you do take walk-ins.
Yeah.
And I don't think, does everybody do that? Or?
Everybody does do that. There's days, unfortunately, where we've been
too swamped to take somebody in.
Yeah, but. And I sometimes I feel like I've let somebody down when that happens,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Ideally that's in some ways kind of good, but bad at the same time. Yeah, walk-by traffic's a very viable thing to having a good, successful business.
Mm-hmm, sure, and that's a splendid location for that, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Once you get in business for yourself, you're always probably looking at new opportunities and things like that, and still growing and, you know, that sort of thing. Is being in this business something that you would look at opening other places, or is it just moving to another location or doing something bigger, you know, with the one entity? Or is it something where, you know, you might see another Salon Blue East, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Like, how does that fit in?
It does fit in towards franchising. Mm-hmm. If you come up with a good enough system, you can always implement that system at other locations.
Right.
And franchise those off. Or you can actually sort of be the main, instead of being franchising, you could be sort of like Starbucks, where they basically own all their establishments. There's nothing that's franchised.
Oh, it's company owned, right? Yeah.
Company owned.
Mm-hmm.
So you could run actually a full-on company having several locations.
Right. And that would still, you have your hand on all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to selling the individual franchise. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. There's some different ways to go, I guess.
Definitely. In more cases than that, though, the bigger you go, the less time I think you'd spend behind the chair, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that working for other bosses who've had more than one establishment, that it the more it becomes as a business,
right,
you have to sort of pull yourself away from the chair.
Could you see yourself doing that? Or maybe at some point in time when you're...
I could see myself definitely doing that. I could definitely see myself also too sticking to the educational side of things too,
mm-hmm.
where I'm not primarily in a salon, but I'm also going around the salons to educate other states.
Oh, have you done anything like that?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I want to get into a little bit of that before we run out of time. I just want to talk a little bit about advertising. How do you advertise? You advertise?
Best way for advertising I've always found is word of mouth, mm-hmm. with hair. If you put an ad in a magazine for a hair salon, it might pose a few people to be intrigued and want to call to maybe book an appointment.
Right, yeah.
But for the most part, you give somebody a really great
self, and you get their friends come in and so forth.
You give them a great service, and they're going to tell their friends, and their friends tell somebody else, and the word of mouth is spreads. And
word of mouth is good advertising. It's worked for a lot of businesses for a lot of years. What about technology? How's that playing in there? You have a website or anything, or you?
We don't have a website up and running.
Use business card or something.
We don't have a website up and running yet, but we do plan to do that nowadays with the internet being.
The useful tool that it is.
It's always definitely important to have a good website up.
Yeah.
Business cards is definitely, you always carry.
It's the day that people are able to order their haircut online is going to be a problem.
Actually, people do that.
When somebody goes there and then...
Well, they do internet booking.
Or book it?
Internet booking,
That's
so
kind of neat.
Yeah, so you can actually pre-book your... in most places now, you can book your haircut online.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the way you would book a rent-a-car online.
Yeah.
That same type of thing.
Pretty good. Convenient for a lot of people. We just got a couple minutes left here. I want to ask you about hiring and firing. Tough?
Easy? Extremely tough.
Yeah.
Because anytime I've had to let somebody go, in some ways I felt that it was partially my fault that maybe I didn't do enough, that I didn't educate them enough. But the old saying is you can only bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Sure.
And I find that a lot of times I don't fire them, they fire themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Towards hiring, I always give people the benefit of the doubt, and it's up to them, basically. You kind of give them the tools to be successful.
Right.
And it's up to them to build their own
to
palace.
Do what they can with those tools, and
that's
if
right.
they can't. What about your personal accomplishments through all this? Like the teaching thing is probably an accomplishment
teaching,
of some kind.
I've done makeovers on television. I did two makeovers on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I've done everybody's hair from, I cut Wayne Gretzky's hair for the Salt Lake City Games when Team Canada was playing there.
Okay, there's an accomplishment.
Yeah, and that was a great one.
Cool.
I also cut Butch Taylor's hair, who plays in the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a great accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Have you won any like awards or anything? Or
I haven't won any
been
awards.
Any contest type things or you don't?
I've entered competitions. I've yet to place.
Mm-hmm.
I think any goals I've ever set for myself I've accomplished. And I think that speaks for myself because I think everybody needs goals in life.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't set them too big, you'll never disappoint yourself too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you always set yourself smaller ones, and it's like a ladder. You just keep climbing and climbing and climbing.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say that Salon Blue and owning Salon Blue is an accomplishment right there.
Thank you.
Definitely an important one. In closing here, give me maybe some kind of hair cutting story that went awry. Something that maybe you wish had never happened.
That's a tough one.
Irate customer, maybe? Or?
We've gotten a few of those in, the irate customers, but ideally...
You ever slip and cut anybody?
No, never slipped and cut anybody. I've cut myself several times on my fingers, and that happens a lot.
Yeah.
But ideally, you definitely get all sorts of individuals in here.
I think that's got to be the thing, is the people.
I've heard of those stories, and those ones you're talking about, the one where somebody's hair all fell off from a bad coloring experience.
That'd be a neat story.
Yeah, but
I'd
like to think those as urban myths.
You know what I'm saying? Some kind of a legend that you hope you're not going to see in your place.
Exactly, or even anywhere else for that matter. I've not yet to see anything like that, thank God.
Well, that's good, actually.
But, hopefully it's just all been good stories coming out of Salon Blue or any other salon. Been a part of.
And anybody locally in the area, again, it's 2053 Wyandotte Street West. Is there any other contact information that you...
The telephone number here is 971-7561, area code 519.
There you go.
We're open every day except for Sundays, and we'd love to have anybody that's listening to this come down and experience Salon Blue.
Do yourself a favor and Google Salon Blue once in a while and find out when that website comes up.
That website will hopefully be up and running very shortly.
Maybe you'll see what the place looks like a little bit, a few pictures there, and some of the staff and whatnot.
That's right.
That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's always nice to see. And if you're in the area and not local, then you come down to Salon Blue and talk to Troy.
That sounds great.
I appreciate you being on the show, Troy. It was a pleasure having you, and a lot of interesting information about hairstyling.
Thank you for having me on.
And everybody else, we'll see you next week on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, for the All Talk Radio Network.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD. A different topic, a different guest, every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. For more information, visit the website, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me. youtalkingtome.ca.